Hey, Tacoma, what's up? John Doherty here for Radio Tacoma's Climate Talk, the place where we talk about everything climate, always respectfully, always fact-based, and sometimes even optimistically. I personally accept the scientific community where 99.9% of scientists who pay attention to climate say we can't keep on doing what we're doing to our environment. Of course, a major part of the environmental damage that we're doing comes from the burning of fossil fuels. Right now, as a species, we're struggling with not only what we're going to do to wean ourselves off fossil fuels, but how we're going to create the political will to make those changes. Those two issues have a couple of consequences. First of all, the political part. Our opinions are a part of developing that political will. Our opinions do matter. They matter a lot. The second part is that in forming those opinions, we live in a world that is far more complex than it has been at any other time in our history. That means understanding and deciding is not an easy proposition. It requires very significant effort as we as individuals and as a species make the critical decisions that have to be made right now and into the future. I think that using hydrogen as a fuel offers a great object lesson in the challenges we face. The evidence I see makes clear that hydrogen will likely be a really important part of our energy future, but how we get that hydrogen is so critically important. So today's conversation with Tacoma's utility board member Christine Cooley regarding the possible future of hydrogen locally here in Tacoma and really around the world is an important one in us understanding how hydrogen can best be produced and used going into the future, produced in a way that makes things better, not worse. And trust me, there are plenty of folks out there who would be more than willing to talk us into using hydrogen in an unhelpful way for their own benefit. I'm speaking specifically of the fossil fuel industry. Christine Cooley, or Chrissy as she's known by her friends, is in the midst of a distinguished career devoted to public service and being a part of making the world a better place for us and future generations. Chrissy has a Master's of Business Administration from PLU and a Bachelor of Science from Ohio State in Environmental Policy and Management. She has served on the Public Utility Board here in Tacoma since 2018, and she is currently the Water Resource Program Manager for Tacoma Pierce County Health. In addition to her board duties, she was recently renamed to a one-year term to the American Public Power Association's Policymakers Council. I personally feel privileged to be able to speak with her today. I'm sure you'll enjoy not only hearing the specifics of her vision for clean hydrogen here in Tacoma, but for her vision and passion for a livable world for all of us going into the future. So here we go. We're with Chrissy Cooley today. Chrissy, welcome to Climate Talk.
Thank you so much for having me. Thanks, John.
Yeah, great to have you here. So we're going to be talking primarily about hydrogen today. And to a layperson, it can seem sort of like, well, hydrogen is hydrogen. But the hydrogen we have in the United States right now comes from several different sources. And I've heard phrases, gray hydrogen, blue hydrogen, green hydrogen. So can you parse those out for us. What are we talking about here with all those colors?
Yeah, absolutely. Hydrogen has a color code that says right up front how it's made. So you name some. There's yellow, turquoise, pink. Hydrogen takes an extreme amount of electricity to produce. Electricity is the largest input for hydrolyzers that turn water into oxygen and hydrogen. So it's really, really, really important to look at where that hydrogen is coming from. Pink hydrogen comes from nuclear power. Brown hydrogen comes from coal and gasification. Gray hydrogen comes from natural gas. Blue hydrogen comes from fossil fuels, but it's a little bit better because they sequester the carbon. But here in the Pacific Northwest, we have a surplus of carbon-free renewable power, and that is the only power that can make green hydrogen. So green hydrogen, carbon-free, renewable power. It's really, really important. A lot of companies want to stress that their hydrogen products, be it cars, forklifts, whatever, they're zero emission. And that's technically true. But we need to look at the total emissions of the supply chain, especially in this region. I just can't even fathom why on earth we would use gray hydrogen to power vehicles when we could electrify transportation using the same carbon-free power.
Yeah, and of course, the carbon-free power you're referring to is our hydropower. We're just so blessed to have that hydropower here. So let's just take a quick branch off in the conversation here for a second. When doing my homework for this conversation, I came across this term electrofuel tariff, and it seems like that might be related somehow to what we're talking about. So what is an electrofuel tariff and why do we have it?
Great question. I'm really proud of the electrofuel tariff. This is a special rate for companies using our area's carbon-free power to make fuel. It was very specially designed by actually our economic development program. And I want to give a shout out to Michael Katze, who is just such a great innovator at Tacoma Power. But it was designed to attract large users of electricity for the purpose of advancing technology. Tacoma Public Utilities, like I said, they have a surplus of carbon-free power, and we want to leverage that excess renewable energy to power hydrolyzers. Again, the equipment needed to make green hydrogen. So take Tacoma's power, produce green hydrogen or hydrogen-rich compounds that can be used to store electricity, and then we can use that later. It's a first-of-its-kind rate. I had the honor of approving this rate on the board in December of 2020. And then also part of the rate has a really special clause called demand response. So they are really big users. We're trying to get these massive megawatt programs in. So if residents get to their peak energy use, like say on a hot day with everyone's air conditioners running, it's built right into the rate that this company would volunteer to turn off, cut power completely in order to avoid a brownout for their customers.
So is this related at all to the concept of dynamic scheduling? Because we know that there's real peaks, as you mentioned, like a high demand, hot air conditioner day. There's peaks, but a lot of the time, our demand is way below those peaks. And so dynamic scheduling, the way I understand it, is designed, or the goal is to get electricity used during those low demand times. So is electrofuel tariff related to dynamic scheduling at all?
Not really. Dynamic scheduling, just like you articulated, is balancing the load. So moving an existing load from here to there in order to balance the load. Demand response, which is in the electric fuel tariff, is cutting off power completely.
Okay, cool. I understand the difference. By the way, I have an electric car and I've started scheduling it to recharge the battery late at night when demand is low, just so I can feel like a good citizen.
Nice.
So I understand there's a project in the works that's going to use this feature that you just described to us to create hydrogen. So what's going on there?
So unfortunately, we don't have anyone using the electrofuel tariff yet. I know it's a success because as soon as it went public, our economic development staff started getting calls from exactly the type of companies that we want to see. And we've actually had over a dozen companies approach us, and we're still talking to quite a few. I'm going to keep a few of those a little bit low profile. I think the project you're mentioning, we had a large company come through that wanted to do a 60 megawatt project. But unfortunately, they ran into the same barrier that a lot of companies are facing in this region, and that's land. The project is no more. They were working with the Puyallup tribe. The Puyallup tribe was fantastic and exploring all their options, but they just couldn't seem to get to a place to make it worthwhile for the amount of land that they wanted. And I think that that is really important to mention when we put it in context of this region's history with subarea planning and the non-interim regs. Land is at such a premium, and it is so important to have these zoning regulations in place to dedicate land to what we want to see in a green economy and not more fossil fuels. So unfortunately, that project didn't make it for land, but we're looking forward to many more.
Yeah, well, I certainly share that hope. So one of the thoughts I want to comment on here in terms of using the excess electricity we have at TPU is that if we sell it and use it here, we're keeping that money in Pierce County, Tacoma, and so on. Like, for instance, if we have more electric cars and we're using that excess power to charge those batteries in those cars, we're no longer sending money off to Houston or Riyadh or wherever the fossil fuels come from. So it just does seem like keeping the asset of that excess power here in the Pacific Northwest just does seem like such a wonderful idea. And this is just a thought that occurs to me. You're probably aware there's a big warehouse project that's being proposed down in South Tacoma.
Yeah.
Seems to me like that'd be a great location for a hydrogen facility.
Could have been.
Could have been. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I'm sure you know there's some pushback about whether we're going to put all those warehouses in, but that's a conversation for another time. So if we start, I'm going to say when we start producing hydrogen here, because I really believe that so many signs point in the direction of doing that it's going to happen. And I do appreciate your enthusiasm and the energy that you're putting into that. So once we start producing hydrogen, are there going to be customers for it? I mean, what are we going to do with that stuff?
Yeah, great question. And I think we need to be thinking really big here. I'm not looking to get one business. I want to have the opportunity to make a green hydrogen hub. And that's exactly what that funding is for. That's due May 15th, that $8 billion from the Department of Commerce. But a green hydrogen hub, it's like an ecosystem of businesses. So once hydrogen producers take root, then companies that can combine hydrogen with, say, like waste CO2 to make sustainable aviation fuel, they can set up shop nearby. Or green ammonia for carbon-free maritime uses. Maritime accounts for 3% of the world's greenhouse gas emissions. So that's something I care a lot about. You could use green hydrogen as a base for formic acid to store energy when it's needed for peak energy uses. So there's a lot of different ways to put these relationships together in a hub that can create customers everywhere. But the parts that get me really excited are those very difficult to electrify areas like maritime and sustainable aviation fuel. I'm personally not such a fan of hydrogen fuel cells and vehicles when, again, we have carbon-free electricity. We can go straight to electrifying, but it's those sticky wickets that large industrial uses like bunker fuel that pollutes up our port area. That's where I think that we could be using hydrogen as a base for some of those fuels and a drop-in for some existing natural gas.
So speaking of those, that long-distance ocean transport, and clearly electrification's not going to happen anytime soon on that, as well as long distance air travel too. So how does green hydrogen, how would that compare for that kind of fueling versus LNG? Because right now it seems like LNG has got the upper hand in terms of long distance ocean travel.
Yeah. So LNG is liquefied natural gas. If we liquefied hydrogen, we would have to pair it with an element in order to make ammonia. The difference with green ammonia versus liquefied natural gas is when you combust it, and also how it's created, I'll add about fracking and where we know that methane gas comes from. So you're really looking at a purely zero carbon fuel versus LNG, which admittedly is less than traditional maritime fuel, but technology is moving so rapidly, we don't need to make interim steps. We can have some disruptive innovation that takes us to the next level, that takes us to zero carbon right now.
So I guess I'm learning something here. So my belief was that shipping, for instance, could use hydrogen as is. But what I'm understanding from what you just said is that that's not true.
You could. But the problem with hydrogen, and it's not just for maritime, it's that it takes up so much space. So in order to compress it, you need to cool it. Well, now you're using even more electricity to compress it down. And it's already a very electric dense process. So when you add different elements to it to allow for a liquid compound to take place, it really saves space. And right now, companies like Maersk, who have said that they want to be net zero by 2050, their biggest obstacle right now is the amount of fuel storage space that they would need to put on their ships displaces their cargo. So it's a rapidly emerging technology. I'm confident that with time and research, we're going to figure out the space issue. But right now, it's looking like liquefying it is the way to go.
Okay. And just an aside on Maersk, it's my understanding that not only have they said they want to be carbon neutral by 2050, but they've pretty much committed to being carbon neutral in 2050. And, you know, that tells me, I mean, I believe they're one of the leading cargo carriers, ocean vessel carriers in the world. And if they can make that kind of commitment, it tells me that, okay, this is doable. We can do that. And certainly hoping that hydrogen is a part of that. You've made a couple of allusions to cost. How does, let's say, per unit of energy or however you want to measure, how does that compare with the cost of, let's say, gasoline or electricity here in the Pacific Northwest?
Sure. Well, we are really lucky in the Pacific Northwest. We were already some of the cheapest electricity in the country. And now this electrofuels rate makes it even more attractive. Right now, Department of Energy is putting together this Earthshot initiative. And that's an initiative that is trying to get clean hydrogen down to the cost of $1 per kilogram in one decade. So one for one for one. You're going to hear that a lot. $1 per 1 kilogram in one decade. Right now, it's hovering between 2 and 3. And the thinking is, with economists who are much smarter than me on this topic, is that once we can get it to that $1 range, it's going to not only be competitive, but be the way of the future.
Yeah, that's a pretty exciting concept. So I recently talked with a representative of the Douglas County PUD. They're putting in a pilot hydro project over there, hydrogen project over there with a lot of the same concept. They've got extra hydro energy sometimes, some periods in the year, and sometimes not. And so they make hydrogen when they can, and then set that aside when they need the electricity for retail industrial customers. And one of the things I understand is that there's going to be, or there is, a hydrogen fueling station down in Centralia. If we make hydrogen here in Tacoma, is that going to have any connection with that hydrogen fueling station down in Centralia?
I would hope that anything working on hydrogen is working in coordination. And that's why this group, Washington Green Hydrogen Alliance, formed to try and track all of these projects. TPU, I think, is a leader in this innovation. We're so fortunate to have Clay Norris working for us. And he, on top of being an expert, is the president of the Green Hydrogen Alliance. The project in Centralia is fueling. I think I've mentioned before, I prefer electrification, but that's just because we have wonderful carbon-free power. In some areas, that is an improvement. I know that California and the corridor has several hydrogen refueling stations, so this could be part of a much larger corridor. There's exciting potential, but I think it just speaks to the importance of having an alliance like the Green Hydrogen Group coming together to pull all of these public and private partners together to make sure there's a common vision.
Yeah, so that the Washington Green Hydrogen Alliance, it sounds like an organization that we need to get to know better. So I'm going to put a link in our show notes so folks can look that up. It seems like it's probably going to be, as we go forward, a good way of keeping track of what's going on, staying up to date about what possibilities are and what's happening. So we're getting close to the end here, Chrissy. I get the enthusiasm for hydrogen in that it fills in a lot of blanks that electricity itself, battery electricity in particular, can't manage, like long distance ocean and air transport. And there are some industries, I think, too, that could probably benefit from hydrogen. So is there anything that we haven't talked about here today that you'd like to finish up with?
I just really want to thank Representative Rommel and Senator Carlisle, who both introduced bills into the legislative session this year in support of green hydrogen, specifically making definition to keep it green hydrogen and to provide incentives for local companies or local area. I get really excited about the technology about this. I could really geek out for months about it, but there's a real human element. I work at the health department, and part of my job is mapping out health disparities on the equity index. And it is scary to see the air emissions in Tacoma specifically, but in all of Washington, all of the country. And to think that we could leapfrog using this technology, it's more than just great jobs, which is fantastic and I want for this region. But it's a real quality of life. I've got two little girls, and to think that they could breathe better air because of technology that's also bringing in tons of money and jobs to this region, it's just a win-win-win. And I'm so excited to see the environmental community rallying behind something we can advocate for, because it feels like we've just fought so many battles for so long against. So I get enthusiastic about this, and I hope people will follow the Green Hydrogen Alliance on Facebook as well.
Okay, yeah, so I get your enthusiasm. I appreciate it, and I share it actually too, because sometimes, maybe most of the time, when we talk about the future of our climate, it can be pretty gloomy. But the flip side of that is that we do have the possibility of really creating a wonderful, livable world going into the future where we're not polluting our environment the way we are now. And so I share your vision on that. And Chrissy, we'll follow closely. As I said, I'll put a link to the Washington Green Alliance, Green Hydrogen Alliance. And thanks so much for being with us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
So there you go. Great hearing Chrissy's insight into possibilities for hydrogen here in Tacoma and Pierce County. As fossil fuel and related jobs and businesses go away, we have the promise of those jobs being replaced by jobs in clean energy. It seems that given the abundance of green hydro we have, access to major markets around the world, our busy port, that producing hydrogen here not only can be a part of a greener future, it will also be a source of flourishing businesses with well-paying jobs. You can check out the show notes for today's conversation at ccltacoma.org. One of the links refers to the hydrogen bill supported by State Representative Rommel and Senator Carlisle, which received the governor's signature and law into law recently. By the way, that bill received very wide partisan support. With effort and understanding, it is possible for us to move ahead in a positive way in addressing climate change. Also, there's a link to the Washington Green Hydrogen Alliance, a great place to stay up to date with what's going on with hydrogen here in Washington State. You can contact me at john@ccltacoma.org. Contact me with suggestions for future programs or for comments on this or any other climate talk. CCL is for Citizens Climate Lobby. I'm an activist there. It's a good outfit with lots of good people. Check it out. You might find something of value. In any case, join with like-minded folks and raise your voice in creating a livable future. This program, like all other locally produced programs, is available on the KTAH website. Just do an internet search for the station. Look for the archives under programming. Thanks for being with me today and reminding you, as always, live like the mountain is out. Take care now.